Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
What a remarkable crowd. It is truly a miracle that some of you are here. We are delighted, we are honored, and we're believing God that God will do some wonderful, amazing things. How many say amen to that? I want you to say this out loud, if you will, please, after me. God, tonight, I'm asking you to release your Holy Spirit to do whatever He wants to do. I now give you permission to minister to me tonight. I give your Holy Spirit permission to do whatever He wants, however He wants to do it. Amen. Now give Jesus a big hand clap. Yeah. You may be seated. The message will be short. How many say amen to that? Oh yeah, a few. Yeah, I know. All right. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about moving in the supernatural and dealing with some issues that people have when it comes to believing God for a miracle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 4, Paul said, "And my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom," now watch this, "but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power." So when Paul preached, his preaching, his speech, was to be in demonstration of God's Spirit and power. The word demonstration in the Greek language literally means showing something so you can see it. Displaying something. And tonight, we are believing with all of our heart that God will show up and display His supernatural power. Can you say amen to that? If I did not have the demonstration of God's Spirit and God's power, I would wonder what was wrong with me. Because that is God's promise to every believer. Can you say amen? Amen. When it comes to healing, one of the things we need to get rid of is this. It's not my gift. Well, I want to tell you something. It's not a gift. It's simply believing the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? There's no such thing as a healing evangelist. There may be an evangelist who goes about healing the sick. I constantly get people, leaders, pastors telling me, "Oh, it's all right for you, you can do this, but it's not my gift." And I say, God can function through any believer that'll say yes to Him. Come on, hallelujah. Come with me to Mark 16, verses 15 to 20. There we go. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Wow. Now, where it says these signs shall follow them that believe, it's very important that we understand tonight the Greek here. The word believe literally means in the Greek a believing one in God. So he's saying these signs will follow those that are believing ones in God. Not those that believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. Not those that believe in the supernatural power of God, but simply those who are believing ones in God, because it is God that does the signs, wonders, and miracles. It's the power of God. God is no respecter of persons, and if you are a believing one in God, he can flow to you and through you. When I was pastoring, I remember one night we were praying for a lot of sick people, and I got a young man up on the stage who had the call of God on him. I said to him, why don't you pray for the sick? He said, I've never done that before. I said, and God doesn't care. Come on, hallelujah. This is not based on experience. It's based on you being a believing one in God and God himself. Come on, hallelujah. He said, what do I pray? How do I pray? I said, I don't know. I'm not you. You pray. And all he did was go like this. God, help me tonight and heal the sick. Amen. That did it. People started getting healed. Come on, are you hearing me? It's God that does it. It's God that does it. In the four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, miracles were not just for those identifying with Jesus and God. They were to be a sign to the unbelievers authenticating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when we go to developing nations, which in most cases are not developing, we pray first after we've ministered for the sick. And God does all kinds of miracles. Then we give an altar call after all of that has happened for people to get saved. Because they see that God is a miracle working God. No other religion that has some God can have that happen. For their gods are dead, and our God is alive and living. And so it's still a sign to authenticate the gospel to people. The second thing to get rid of is this statement, and it certainly is a faith-destroying statement. Heal me if it be your will. Well, you need to know if it is or it isn't. Come on, hallelujah. Heal me if it be your will. Well, this Bible, the New King James Version, even the NIV Version, even the Old King James Version, even the Amplified Version, the Living Bible Version, all show that healing is the will of God for every believer. I had a brother that had what was then an incurable disease. And he'd be hospitalized for up to 6 months at a time. And we had a minister come from a certain denomination, and he'd pray this prayer. Oh God, if it be thy will, heal this young boy. And I'd hear that and think, how stupid is that? I mean, I didn't know anything about church or God and didn't want to know. But to me, as an unbeliever, I thought that was dumb and stupid. Either you know and it is the will of God or it isn't. Not if it be thy will. And after he'd pray, and my mother would thank him for coming, and I'd walk down the path with him, I'd mouth off at him. I'd tell him, don't come back here if you don't know what God's doing or not doing. She would not have liked that. And I was young enough not to realize that I was out of order. But the point is, you can know that it is the will of God. So we're coming here tonight not hoping to get healed, not wishing to get healed, but believing Almighty God that His will is to heal us. Hallelujah. The healing provision is the believer's inheritance. Jesus is not only the testator who died, he was resurrected and is now the mediator of his will. It is God's will to heal people that are sick. He is now our advocate, and he will not cheat us out of our inheritance. The third thing to deal with is this. I don't have enough faith. Excuse me, I'm going to be extremely blunt, and I know I'm in America and we're supposed to be nice. In Australia, we're blunt. If we don't like something in Australia, we just tell you. Hello? They do that in South Africa, don't they? People say, what do you think of my new shirt? Don't like it. If I do that in America, they have to go for counseling. The statement, I don't have enough faith, is absolute rubbish. Boy, you can feel the crowd now. It's rubbish. Every born-again believer, the Bible says, was given the measure of faith. And the term the measure, and I preach this here, means literally 12 barrelfuls. We talk about barrels of oil. And the point is not really how much, but you have a lot of faith. God gave you a lot of faith. He gave you more faith than you know what to do with. People say to me, I wished I had faith like you. And I go, you do. You have as much as I have. I have as much as you have. God didn't come to some ministries or people and say, I'm going to give you more than anybody else. He gave us all the same amount of faith. The day we got saved, God imparted faith into us so we had the ability to believe God for all of these things. I wrote a book. In fact, we gave it out here at a ministers' conference. It's called You're Full of It. One clap. One. Can you believe that? One. And it was talking about you're full of faith. When we took it to Cuba to give away, and we gave several thousand away, the guys from Ecuador that asked me if they could publish it in Spanish said to me, you're full of it doesn't translate very well. Is that right? Yeah, it just does not translate very well. And if you're in the wrong country, it means something else. Hello. The fourth thing you need to deal with is this. This is so tragic when people say this. God gave me this sickness. I have a dear, dear, dear friend. I love him dearly. He was struck down last year with a disease, and he had to give up his church as pastor. And there's two kinds of this particular disease. One moves slowly, one moves pretty fast. And he's got the one that moves fast. And I sent him an email. It's the only one of mine that he's never answered. And that's okay. I'm still his friend. I said to him, here's what I want to do. I want to come to your house, and you and your wife and that sleep during the night. I'll pray through the night for two or three nights. When you get up in the morning, I'll make sure I'm gone so I don't disrupt the household, so you can get healed. I meant it seriously. He's put on his website that this disease was given to him by God so he could understand how to minister to those that have that disease. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, God does not give sickness to anybody. Come on. God does not do it. Now, I've been around long enough to understand that God can use different things to do things in our life, but he did not give it to us. Now, when you are ministered to, and you will be in a few minutes, understand God loves you dearly. God wants to heal you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And in the word of God, which I've said here before, some people were healed instantaneously, which we all love. That's happened to me. Some were healed as they went. Some were healed over a period of time. Don't give up. Don't give in. Understand that very often God starts from the inside and works to the outside. And know that God has begun to do a work in you. Understand from Ephesians 3:17, we are rooted and grounded. Come on, hallelujah. God has not abandoned you. God has not rejected you. God is not saying, I'm not going to do it. Hang in there. That's the hardest part. When I was laying in bed with cancer, a friend of mine came, he's a big, tall guy, and he said, I've come to visit you. I said, great, I'll be out of here soon, tomorrow. He said, who said? I said, I said. I'm leaving, man. He said, what if the doctor says you can't go? I said, I'm leaving. That's it. I'm believing God. I believe in God. I understand that God can use doctors. I'm all for that. But I'm leaving. But I want you to do something for me. I want you to go get a big piece of paper and write in big letters from the book of Isaiah chapter 53, by his stripes, and then over to 1 Peter chapter 2. By his stripes, I was healed. And then the scripture, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And I want you to pin it up on the ceiling above me, so every time I open my eyes, I see that and I read it. And God's word is light and life. Come on, hallelujah. So he goes away downstairs, he comes back 30 minutes later, he's got it, he puts it up there, it's huge. We talk, he's gone. Sometime later, a nurse comes in and she sees me looking up. And she looks up. She said, what's that? I said, don't you touch that. She said, what is it? I said, that's my prescription. Come on, hallelujah. That's my prescription. By his stripes, I was healed. I said, you touch that and you're in trouble. Do not touch it. My name is not Fury for nothing. But I've been saved. And I'm nice now. Well, when I wake up in the morning, I look up and it's gone. So I grabbed my phone, I called Barry, I said, I don't know what you're doing, but get back here to the hospital. He said, why? I said, those unbelievers took my prescription down. I want it back up there. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bring it back, but I'll bring a supply of four other copies, so if they do it, you'll have to get somebody else to put it up there. Come on, hallelujah. He puts it up there, he's gone, she comes back later in the day. She said, we got rid of that. I said, I told you. Every time you get rid of that, we're putting it back up. Because I need that. Because every time I read that, it puts life into my body. Come on, hallelujah. I'm rooted and grounded. Now let me tell you something about being rooted and grounded. A friend of mine was in Finland, and he bought some shrubs to plant, a lot of them. And the guy in the nursery said to him, where are you going to plant these? And he told him. He said, oh, I know where that is. I know where that field is. It's got mountains on one side. He said, yep. And it's got great tall pine trees on the other. He said, that's right. And he said, at each end there's hills. So he said, there's no wind comes in there. He said, that's right. He said, oh, if you want these to grow, you're going to have to do something. He said, what? He said, you plant them, then you go outside every morning and every evening, and you go to each tree and you shake it violently. That will cause the shrub to get strong, and its roots will go down, so it will be rooted and grounded. Come on, are you hearing me? So when you go out of here, if you're getting shaken, don't freak out. It's okay. Your roots are going down deep. Come on. You're getting rooted and grounded. When the devil comes to you and tells you you can't be healed, you tell him God already did it. When the devil tells you it's not going to happen, you tell him it's already happening. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.